Welcome to Aspire. I'm your host, Gregory Penn, and how deeply grateful I am that you joined us here on October 13, 2019. We're going to be looking at how do I see? What do you see? What don't you see? Well, we'll take a look at that right now, just in a moment. I want to remind you that these radio programs, as you well know, are supported solely and entirely upon your tax-deductible gift. It is only through your contributions that Aspire is allowed to serve people. And we're in our year-end fundraising drive. It goes from September all the way to January. We're looking at those of you who listen to the radio program and never make a donation, never help. Why? Well, there's all sorts of reasons why not, but there's only one reason why, because you can. And for those of you who listen to the program regularly and ask questions and, do all you do in the course of your lifetime, don't you think it's time to do something magnanimous, something kind, something loving, something that attributes to love in this world? When you give a gift to Aspire, it goes out in many, many different forms. This radio program, the TV programs, that my work at hospice, my work with the BATMO, with the kids, that's going to be coming up very near future here. We're going to be helping children who are, well, abused and hungry, and some who are sick and dying. And we're going to be doing all of that here in the next week or so. So your donations have a lot to do with the well-being of a lot of people and a lot of things in this society. It's easy to turn your back on what is going on and say, well, you know, it doesn't matter, but it does matter. So I'm asking you to become a sponsor. That would be lovely. If you go to the website at aspire.org, you will see year end. Just click on that. It's big, 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 big thing, big splash. Got a little story there for you about taking it easy. And then you can join us. You get a copy of the podcast, videocast, commentary. The commentaries are very, very unusual things. They're for people who really are deeply curious and interested, beyond maybe curiosity, but curious is good, about what it is that makes a spiritual practice happen and what the shortcomings are, the kind of the pits of it, where you fall into different things that you wish you hadn't fallen into and how to avoid those things. That's really what it's all about. It's learning how to understand your psychology and where you are with your life. So I'm hoping that you will become a sponsor. If not, you know, a one-time gift for year-end would help a great deal. And all of your donations, not only tax exempt, they will help you with your income tax, but also they will be matched by our donor, and that means a lot to us. So a gift of, let's say, $50 becomes $100. A gift of $100 becomes $200. And these kinds of things are very important to us here at Aspire. So I hope you will become a sponsor. But if not, a year-end donation would be lovely, and I would deeply appreciate it. And I, of course, will acknowledge it. So how can I see? That's our subject. I'm going to start off with a really great question. Nobody asked me this question. When I saw it, I about fell off my chair because usually people don't have the basic, understanding to be aware that this question is very important. It comes from Rachel, and she lives, she says, here in Colorado. And she says, I listen to you every day, one way or another, either on TV or radio. That's good. And then she asks, you talk about see how you love and what keeps you from the journey. That's a Buddhist quote, Raquel. And she says, how do I see how I love? Wow. Now, you would think a question like that would be asked a great deal, wouldn't you? you would think a lot of different people would ask that question, since it's one that, you know, I get involved in and I talk about all the time. But people don't want to see how they love Raquel. They really don't, because if they were the recipient of their own love, which in some ways we are, in some ways we're not, we would be very, very surprised at how gracious this life is to afford us all of the beautiful things that this life affords us, based on the premise of how I love. What you sow, so shall you reap. Buddha talked about it, your thoughts, they create your world, how you look at your world. To see how you love, this is something that most people are deeply afraid to understand. They think in terms of love as being some natural thing that, you know, is spurred on by emotionality. It's an emotional thing. Nobody thinks of, well, rarely do people think, I shouldn't say nobody, but most people that I meet, I don't mean anybody who looks at love as a spiritual quality. They look at it as an emotional thing. If you do something nice, if you rub their skin very well, and you know how to rub their skin well, if you know how to pleasure them, please them, propagate them, make them believe that they're more than what they are, and tell them how wonderful they are, everybody's going to love you. But who wants to see how they love? What do I put you through in order to love me? That is the real question here. What do I put you through? So, Raquel, the best way to see this is to look at people you say you love. Maybe go to them and ask them, you know, what do I put you through in order to love me? What's it like to love me? Now, that's just the love with skin on. That's not the love I'm really referring to or that Buddha's referring to. But if you start there, that would be a great place to start to understand, well, how do I do this love thing? And how do I feel about this love thing that I do? How do I love you? How do I? Now, most people will not tell you the truth, Raquel. They won't. They don't want to lose what they got, or even if your love is kind of difficult, at least it's something. And most people won't tell you the truth. And that's just the way human beings are, and there's not a blooming thing you can do about it. It just is what it is. But you might get some hints if you ask people, what am I like to love? How do I reciprocate? How do I accept your love? Do I accept it well? Am I gracious? Or am I embarrassed? Or what goes on when you tell me that you love me? I know a lot of people have a great deal of difficulty with that because they, you know, live their life on the low self-esteem of their ego, and other people aggrandize themselves and think that they're so wonderful, you're lucky that you're even in their life. So all of this is going on and on and on, in and out, in and out. There's all sorts of ways in which this works. But when the Buddha said, see how you love and what keeps you from the journey, he was not talking about what I'm just talked about how you love emotionally and physically. What is the criteria of a person's love? What is the criteria? Should there even be one? For most people, there is a criteria. I love you, and this is the standard upon which I will tell you I love you. You have to be this, you have to act this way, you have to think this way, and above all, you must have this quality, and this quality. Whatever they are, people have a criteria. And whatever that criteria is, my darlings, this is the way we live our life. This is the way we love, we think, each other. But the truth is, it is the way love is for us. A person's love will determine how they forgive, how they give, and how they listen to you and me when we're talking to them. It is how they see things. It will be either beyond the state of their psychology, and they will love beyond the preferences that they have about how they love, who they love, and what it means to love, or they will make those preferences their psychology and the reason for their living, the reason for their loving, and the reason why they don't give, and the reason why they don't forgive. I watch people very closely. All the time I watch them. I watch the way they give. If you want to know, Raquel, how a person loves, see how they give, for what reasons they give, and why they don't give. I have learned a lot over the years of my career about all of this, and I'm telling you, that's the most revealing thing you can ever know or understand, is to be aware of how they love through how they give. How quickly do they move towards goodness? That would be one. How quick? How quick do they see an opportunity to give and then give? How quick are they to forgive? How quick? How will they do it? Do they rationalize? Do they have, you know, in real forgiveness and in real giving, there's no reason for it. It's not based on preference and ideals and beliefs. Not based on any of that. It's not an urge either. Giving and forgiving is a state of being. It is the result of a state of being. The people who are the best lovers, and I don't mean biologically, but who love, and you want to see how you love, are the people who can forgive. That is the criteria of authentic love. See how you love. Selfishly, pridefully, egotistically, for self-righteous purposes. You only love those who are right, who believe the way you do. Yadda, yadda, yadda. Take a look at it all. It has a lot to do with where you are with yourself and what can happen to you in the course of any given lifetime. So, when Buddha says, see how you love and what keeps you from the journey, look at it also from this point of view. For as you forgive your enemy as yourself, you have come to know a great love. Something for you to think about. I hope that serves you well. I really do, Raquel. You're a great question. You're the only one in my almost 50 years of being a teacher who ever asked that question. Ever. Thank you. Please forgive me. Namaste. The next one comes from Foreman. He does not tell me where he lives. How do I see things rightly? Buddha talks about right mind. How do I have right mind, he says, Foreman. It's easy. It's easy for me to talk about it. It ain't so easy to do her. So here's how it is. A right mind is a mind no longer seeking to consider what is good and bad, what is right and wrong. That is a clear mind. What we call in meditation, in Zen, no mind. A mind not evaluating things for the sake of trying to get what it wants or try to obtain the good it believes it deserves. Now, if you start thinking from this premise, you're going to change a lot of things in the course of your lifetime, a lot of things in you. Many things are going to change. And what will probably change the most is going to be your perspective about this world and why you're in it. This is a very difficult thing for most people to understand. The reason I think I'm here, the reason I participate in whatever is going on in the world, whether it's about hate or right or wrong or assumptions and judgments. The only reason I do any of that is because I'm sitting here with a mind that is telling me what is right and wrong, what is good and bad. There you are. Now, most people would defend this right to think in terms of right and wrong, good and bad, to their death. They would have many elaborate arguments and moral reasons for whatever is their state, their premise. But none of those things would be very helpful. And none of those things would be spiritual, as it were, that would help you with the answer to your question. See how you love and what keeps you from the journey. That is really an interesting statement. That is worth dedicating your entire life to. If you start to see how you love and how to see the things that are occurring, quote unquote, rightly, as Buddha said, it means that you see things in proportion to their source, where things are coming from. So, to see things rightly, you see the source of where it comes from, not what is happening itself. So if I'm looking at a person and I'm watching their actions, Foreman, I'm not going to be looking at them from the point of view of, look what you're doing. I won't be very interested in that. I'm going to be looking at it from the point of view, oh, look where that's coming from. How is it you arrived at a decision to live and think and do from that modality? And once you start seeing that, you're going to see a lot of things you didn't know you were recognizing. I mean, you're going to see a lot of things you didn't know were you're going to recognize. It's kind of interesting, to say the least. You start seeing your motives and other people's motives. You start seeing their ignorance, their assumptions. Now, if you look at those assumptions and those ignorances and you go, that's bad or that's good, now you miss. You can't do that. You just see it for what it is and don't jump to a conclusion about it. If you cannot jump to a conclusion about it, you will start to recognize your own thoughts, how they work, what they're doing, what they believe in, what they don't believe in. You will start seeing everything in proportion to your perception. Then, as you realize, as I have, that my perception is always wrong based on whatever Greg is thinking, you start to realize they know not what they do. This overwhelming insight will come to you of forgiving. Forgiving others, forgiving yourself, forgiving everything in your life. A humility is born in you. This humility is the rightly that you're talking about. You want to see things rightly? See it from the state of your humility. Now, if you can do that, if you can be humble inside and realize, I could do the same thing, anybody could do it, I've done it, maybe not in this life, but in another life. Once you understand all of that, then you start to awaken. Here is where a new mind is born. A mind no longer fighting with itself about what is right and wrong, what's good and bad. And in that lack of fight, that lack of hate, is your rightly, as you're putting it here in this question. You'll find tremendous love. I found tremendous love. It's more than unconditional, because love is not unconditional. It is conditional. There's the love of your human self, and then there is the love that is authentic. And while it has all sorts of beauty to it, there is a condition to enter into it. And that condition is no longer living from my emotionality. no longer living from my mental and emotional assumptions. I am living from the authentic. That's a whole new world. Everybody says to you, oh, live and love unconditionally. It can't be done because that's not the way it works. There is a condition to love. It's called non-judgmental. And if you can't enter into the non-judgmental, if you can't let go of your pride, your selfishness, your vanity, you'll never enter into it. There are conditions to love. And don't let anybody fool you into believing or thinking there isn't. Foreman, I gotta go. I hope that helped you. Please forgive me. Namaste. And the last question from Ted in Los Angeles. He says, how do I recognize, as you say, what I do not see? How do you recognize what you do not see? You have to have a different mind. Ted, if you live your life according to the parallels of your genetics, your DNA, you're going to miss the whole kit and caboodle. It won't matter. You're going to miss your life in totality. But if you can live in the accordance of a no mind, not interested in who's right and who's wrong, in who's good and who's bad, a mind not fighting with itself, that's when you enter into something very, very beautiful. You distinguish between that which is real and that which is not real. That's the key. Reality. Not what people do, not what they say, not what you believe they are. Who cares? It's the reality of the situation. If I don't see the reality of it, then I'm going to compensate for not seeing that reality by thinking in terms of judgment. And I will start judging people. I will start judging everything. For what? For the sake of what? It isn't for the sake of love. Judgment doesn't abide in reality. Now, you have to choose between wanting to know reality or wanting to formulate your reality. And that's what you don't see is true reality, because if you see it, it means you've dropped your reality. Just consider this, Ted, for all intents and purposes here. Everything you think about anyone or anything is wrong. It's an assumption. Start there. You don't see your wife, you don't see your kids for the way they really are. It's an assumed. And when you are done with the assumptions and you are interested in the reality, that's when you start to change. I mean, really change. And you start looking at things not from the perspective of desire, ambition, and pride, but you start looking at things for the way they really are. You will be overwhelmed by the beauty of your life, the beauty of every given circumstance. You will be overwhelmed. This is what deep inner work is all about. Moving beyond the concepts and the confines of assumption based on my mental acuity. If you go beyond all of that, oh, you've opened up a door, a beautiful door. The door to nirvana, to bliss. But I warn you, if you do this, it will destroy what you believe in, what you like to believe in, and what you think is important to believe in. You're going to have to decide how far you want to go with all that and whether or not seeing reality for what it is worth giving up your my assumed reality. I hope that helps you. I do. It's a great question, Ted. Thank you for your loving kindness. Please forgive me. Namaste. I'm out of here. We're on time, too. Wow. Who'd have thought? Thank you for listening this weekend. I hope I served you well. Why don't you make a donation? Help us with our year-end donations. And remember, every one of them is matched. It's very, very important. Thank you for listening. Please forgive me, won't you? Namaste.